During this pandemic, we have been taking you to different states to look at the human and economic impact. And this morning we go to Minnesota. That state's workforce, devastated. 600,000 Minnesotans have filed jobless claims over the past few weeks. That's about one-fifth of the working population. People are frustrated, and this is putting pressure on the governor, Democrat Tim Walz. Like other governors, he's trying to balance the need to control a virus with the need to keep his state's economy stable. And we have the governor with us this morning. Governor, thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Good morning, David. Thank you for having me.
So as you weigh when to let businesses come back to life, I know you've been facing a lot of frustration, especially from small business owners who are trying to hang on through this. What can you tell them about when they'll be able to fully reopen?
Well, first of all, they're not wrong. I mean, the frustrations that they have are real. These are businesses that, you know, they may have been in families for generations or they built up. They're immigrants who are living that dream. And unlike other recessions, nothing really predicted it. There was no way to plan for it. And one of the issues here is that it's consumer confidence, that they're worried that even if there's no, you know, stay-at-home orders, those are kind of a lot of that's based on voluntary social distancing and things people do. So I think telling them if the things we need to do right, we're used to long winters out here. And I said from the beginning of this, this is not a blizzard. It is a winter. And I think by building up, we had the vice president out here to look at, we have a really unique opportunity in Minnesota because of a robust healthcare system, Mayo Clinic, others. We're shooting for a goal of very quickly to be up to 20,000 tests a day in a state of 5.7 million. That ability to test, trace, and isolate is going to be the way to get on the other end of this. But I think it's asking people for patience is hard. And what we've done is we've tried to use the public health experts. We've used a very deliberate approach, and we've included businesses, and we've been able to roll some of those back in. We've been doing, of course, curbside with our retail businesses and a lot of factories, but it's challenging. And we've seen out here that this virus does not discriminate either by race nor by geography. And
well, that is
hotspots.
That is certainly true. But if I may, before we leave from the business angle here, I wanted to listen with you to the voice of one business owner in your state. His name is Mick Kennis. He and his wife own this big furniture store in Albert Lea. He says he can guarantee social distancing given the size of his business. And he was talking to Minnesota Public Radio, and he said he got really mad when he visited this big box store that he competes with because that store was able to stay open because it's deemed essential.
We personally went and observed and seeing them go in and come out with their furniture. You know, they came out with their sofas or came out with their recliner.
I mean, what do you say to someone like Mick who feels like these state orders, while obviously important in this crisis, have left him behind while supporting larger retailers?
Yeah, he's not wrong. Those CISA guidance that came, you know, from the federal government, a lot of them on the large retailers, big box stores, it's because they had the capacity to provide the essentials, especially food, pharmacy, and things like that. I don't think he's wrong. I think that's one of the reasons why here in Minnesota, we think there's a third way. There was no way we believed you could lock everyone down for what I believe will be, at least till we have therapeutics or a vaccine. You have to find a way that's sustainable to live with. And I think what we're doing, and it's hard for folks to wrap their mind around, here in Minnesota, it's been about 42 days since we had the stay-at-home order. So it seems like a lifetime, but Mick is right. And I think that's what we're trying to get to. And I do trust and believe that if these folks can do this right, they can social distance, it's going to take a lot of buy-in because it's going to be the customer's belief that it's safe to go back again. It's not just going to be the stay-at-home order. So until the public believes, yeah, they've got the testing, they've got the tracing, I feel pretty confident that people are wearing enough masks, I can go do this, that's the way they're going to go back.
But can I ask you about testing? Because you used a number that sounded pretty big based on what we've seen. NPR reported on a Harvard study saying that 41 states are still not doing enough to safely reopen. Minnesota is among those 41.
Yeah.
Our analysis said an average of 3,784 tests conducted in your state per day. And in reality, the minimum amount has to be like 14,000. How do you tell people that you can start reopening if the testing is just not there yet?
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's one of the reasons we did the Minnesota moonshot. It was unfortunate that when Vice President Pence came, the story that came out of that was he did not wear a mask at the Mayo Clinic. But the deeper story that day was just to show the capacity that's there. We're still having, like everyone else, a bit of trouble around some of the you know, the swabs and things like that. But we just took a different approach, and I put out to the university, to Mayo, and to the other systems, we need to work around the reagents. We don't need to count on getting them. And once,
but should you wait if the numbers aren't there? Should you hold off on starting to do curbside and things like that?
Ours have doubled our ability to get that number you gave. We are now approaching 5,000. Our intention is that we should get close to that number very quickly. We're doing symptomatic. I think you should certainly hold off on those unpredictable settings. I think it's very difficult to imagine a bar setting or a concert setting. And what we've done is we viewed it as a dial, and we were very clear about how we turn that up. And I don't believe you can't flip it like a switch and say you're open if you don't have the testing. And if you do, I think there's a real chance that, one, the public won't come back, and two is you need to be prepared for the second wave. And the second wave can be far less disruptive. Do I wish we had this capacity of testing in February? Certainly, but wishful thinking won't get it done. So
are you certain there's going to be a second wave? I mean, are you basically bracing for a second wave? Like there's, it's definitely going to come?
Well, I think epidemiology would tell you that is almost certain, if not certain. You know, we've got a lot of great experts out here who work on this, and that's what they're telling me. I think the thing is that the second wave is we would not be in a PPE shortage, we would not be in an ICU shortage, and we would not be in a testing shortage, which I think would definitely, as we've seen in places from New Zealand to South Korea, can change the trajectory dramatically. But I think it would be reckless to not prepare for a second wave of this, because with the absence of therapeutics or a vaccine, it's with us, I mean, until we get herd immunity. And our goal was, and we've been successful, pushing out the peak. But here's the problem. People get restless. Small business owners are absolutely right.
And that is indeed what we're hearing from right now. I mean, that's the balance that you have to find, like so many other governors.
Right.
Minnesota's Governor Tim Walz joining us this morning. We really appreciate the time, Governor.
Thank you, David.